Hey, this is Rob Liefeld, and you're listening to Matt, Ian, and Paul on the McSauce Podcast.
Welcome to episode 365 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian the Sauce Sharpley.
Hello.
And Matt Cassell.
Hello.
It is Monday night, March 22nd. Holy shit. March 22nd. And tonight, as Matt just pointed out, we're recording our 365th episode. It's official. You can now listen to one episode a day for an entire year. Without any repeats. Congratulations, listeners.
You did it.
You endured.
Or I guess I should say, you're welcome, listeners.
Just enough of you have given us just enough confidence in this project to continue to do it for this long.
That is at least 365 hours. How many days is 365 hours?
I don't know. I'm not looking at
it. I thought you were going to do that.
I was not. I am not.
It's so many days worth of
it's not 15.2 days.
So for a half a month straight, you can listen to us nonstop, 24/7 for half a month.
Well, it's actually probably a little bit longer if you factor in a whole year's worth of Patreon exclusive episodes. Yeah.
And when we first started, our episodes were 4 hours.
The Last Jedi review was much, 4 days.
Much like the topic tonight that we're going to talk about, the Snyder Cut, we took it upon ourselves. Where was he inspired?
At some point.
He was inspired from listening to the McSauce Podcast, and he's like, if these guys can talk for 4 hours, surely I can put together a 4-hour-long movie.
At some point, we had to bring Joss Whedon in to cut 2 hours out of each episode.
So moving forward, we're going to have Snyder Cut editions of each of the 365 episodes of McSauce. So you can hear all the good stuff. You know, if you didn't like it the first time, maybe now after we recut it and, you know, put all the good stuff back in, you'll love it.
We are talking about Zack Snyder's Justice League tonight, the Snyder Cut, as it's been belovedly known by fans of Zack Snyder. We all watched it. We're gonna break it down a little bit tonight. But before we do that, we do housekeeping with Ian Sharpley.
Go to McSauce.com. We have webcomics there. We have our podcast there. You can reach out to us on social media. Any social media that you please, except for, you know, all the popular ones like Snapchat and TikTok. We don't do those. All the old man ones like Twitter and Instagram, your granddad's social media. If you go...
Don't you have TikTok?
No, I do not.
Oh. You stupid fuck.
You fool. But what I do have is a Tee Public store with all the McSauce goods located in there. You can get a Theater Justice t-shirt. You can get a three-headed McSauce hoodie if you'd like. You can get surprise cheese on a mouse pad.
On your coffee mug.
Absolutely. On your cheese mug.
Mm-hmm, queso.
And the aforementioned Patreon. If you go to Patreon, type in McSauce and plunk down $5. We will send you a survey. You can fill out that survey and you will get back an episode catered to your unique tastes, as well as about 30 other episodes not found on the regular feed. Good stuff like a bunch of drunken breakdowns of Transformers. Matt and myself talk about video games a whole lot. We have some other really cool stuff on the Patreon, so check it out and let us know what you want to hear us talk about.
Please sign up and we will cater to any whim you may have. So speaking of catering to whims, Warner Brothers really let Zack Snyder whim his heart out with this one.
Well, from what it seemed like, not to jump too far ahead, but it seemed like he had a lot of that stuff already filmed. And to me, it seemed like they indulged Joss Whedon to re-film a lot of the stuff for the original cut, the 2017 version of Justice League, which is sort of strange that they did it the way that they did, because it looked like some scenes they reassembled an entire scene just so that they could tell a joke that was, you know, funny or maybe not so funny. It seemed like a colossal waste of money whenever you look at any of the breakdowns, or if you just think to yourself, like, this scene was very different. There's no way that they would have had any of these jokes. So they had to get all the extras back together. They had to go back on site. What I'm thinking of specifically is when Bruce is trying to find Arthur and he's up in that Scandinavian village or whatever. And he was cracking jokes in the original version. He was
before Arthur shows up.
When Arthur is there, there was a big section of him like telling some jokes and doing some stuff. And it was very different. Even whenever they go out of the bar and Arthur's jumping in the water, there's some jokes going around.
I don't remember the original so much. I think I just saw it once in the theater and that was plenty. But you know, reading some stuff over the past week, listening to, you know, a couple podcasts, I'm like, oh yeah, this was in there, that was in there, like, until like early, like this morning when I was listening to a podcast, I totally forgot about the weird ass scene with the guy on the roof with the Batman in the beginning.
It was the opening scene.
I totally forgot about that.
I forgot that the whole way that they find out about the mother boxes is because the parademon explodes and in his blood are like the symbols of the mother boxes, and Batman then puts together like, oh, mother boxes. Yeah. what?
So we had, what do we remember, like, our expectation and excitement? Did we do Paul and Amos going into the Snyder Cut?
I don't remember.
I don't think so, but I do have our final rankings of Justice League 2017.
How was it? How did those rankings come out?
Do you want it now, or do you want us to talk about this movie and then I'll tell you?
Matt, what do you think?
You can save it.
Okay, I'll save it.
All right.
Producer Andy was kind enough to clip the rankings. So.
Thanks, Andy.
So Matt, did you stay up and watch it at midnight?
I was up until 4 a.m. and then I worked the next morning.
What a moron.
Mm-hmm. I watched it. I pretty much started it right after work on Thursday night, and I watched it probably started just after 6 o'clock, finished just after 10.
All one sitting.
Yep.
So I think this is going to be interesting too on how we watched it, and I think it might be a little bit different as we go through. Do you feel like the fact that you were able to watch something for a 4-hour movie in the comfort of your home with your cat and your snacks, do you think that that added or took away from the enjoyment, or did nothing?
I think it added to it. Being the marathon movie that it was, I would rather be in the comfort of my own home for a 4-hour one. Now, if it was a 2-hour movie, maybe I'd feel a little bit differently. Maybe the big screen or the IMAX as it was intended with that bizarre 4-to-3 ratio that Zack Snyder went with.
Wasn't that weird?
Like, can we just talk about that for a second?
The fact that they had to put at the beginning of the movie, do not adjust your screens. The director's a psychopath.
It didn't bother me one bit.
That's crazy.
When I first read that he was doing it, I was like, what the fuck? I flipped the coffee table. I was like, you're going to make me watch 4 hours and it's going to be in a square? I was so mad. But like when I started watching it on my iPad, and I think the shape of that, and like I was on the treadmill in the dark with just the iPad, so I couldn't tell that It wasn't
the perfect way to watch any Zack Snyder movie. Was it raining inside too, dude?
Well, my ambient light needed to be pitch black to see all of the black colors from his desaturated movie.
Color black.
But yeah, like I, you know, then
that's
like,
why he did it that way, so he could have more black.
I moved it to the laptop and then eventually the TV to finish it up. And yeah, I thought I was gonna have a huge problem with the 4:3 aspect ratio, but no.
His rationale was interesting. Zack Snyder said that he fell in love with the format whenever he was creating sequences for the IMAX version of, I think, Batman v Superman. And I guess the IMAX is presented in that format, which I don't think I knew, but it is.
Yeah, me neither.
And apparently he loves that format. And then he's further supported it by saying, well, superheroes, traditionally, you see them more vertically. Like, they're these big, like, kind of imposing. You don't see them, like, horizontally unless maybe it's Superman flying. I was like, what a crazy stretch you're going to try to rationalize a bad decision for framing a film. I mean, like, movies are wide. That's the way it's framed. You ever see a picture taken vertically with an iPhone? Or I'm sorry, a video taken with an iPhone. What are you doing?
Well, Matt,
I always scream, turn the camera.
Well, Matt, if since you're an old man, you know that's what they do on TikTok and Snapchat these days. Everything's vertical. So
do you have a
Zack
TikTok?
Snyder is really just leaning into the zeitgeist. I do not have a TikTok. I'm not a dancer, and I know there's tons of shit on TikTok besides dancing. But man, I don't have a graceful bone in my body.
So yeah, the 4:3 ratio,
it was a strange thing. It was difficult for me because I felt like the movie wasn't framed as nicely as it probably, because
it looked like a
otherwise.
TV show, and you famously hate TV shows.
4:3, fine, yeah. For a football team, bad for a movie.
Fine for Roseanne, bad for Justice League.
So, yeah, that was the first thing. I was like, wow, that's interesting. He's a psychopath. They're definitely letting him do his vision. And that is something that is actually a positive, right? His vision, you don't get from a lot of current comic book movies. You get either
Kevin Feige's vision.
You get Kevin Feige's vision, which isn't a bad one, but it isn't something that every single comic book movie needs to adapt itself with. And I think that while DC has had sort of a roller coaster of, you know, wins and losses, I think it does give it those movies a little bit more of a personality, for better or for worse. But this was a distinct vision. I mean, from the jump, the first opening scene is Superman just dying as slow as he possibly could die in the most painful way that we can present it. And that's a choice. It's much different than, what was it in the original?
It started with CGI mouth Superman being filmed, ironically, on an iPhone.
Vertically on a phone, yeah.
A tribute. And wasn't it some kids that were trying to start a podcast or something like
that? Something like that.
Snot-nosed fucking losers.
Yeah, and obviously Zack Snyder was like, Joss, I think you're onto something. I'm going to do my whole movie in this format.
Famously, Zack Snyder did not watch the Joss Whedon cut, right? That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Yes. He said that he just couldn't bring himself to do it. I'm sure that there were a lot of number of emotions.
I think his wife saw it and she was like, don't watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, whatever your opinion of this movie is, it seemed pretty clear to me that he put his heart and soul into this thing. And to get the 2017 version, to see just how different it ended up from, you know, his vision. Yeah, that would be a tough pill to swallow, especially given, you know, the personal circumstances that his family was dealing with at the time.
Structure-wise, I thought it was, I think it's very interesting that, like, not only the structure, it felt like a completely new movie to me. And I've watched Justice League recently, within probably the last year or so I've watched it on TNT and maybe like not paying super duper attention, but I knew the beats of the movie and how it opened and how like the different musical cues and what it sounded like. And this was from the jump. I'm sitting there watching it with my wife and I was like, she kept asking me, is this the same? Is this different? I don't remember this.
I saw maybe like the second half of it around Thanksgiving last year.
Also, the way that I watch it, so Paul, you watch it 3-screen experience. You started off in the dungeon. Oh, yeah. You went upstairs. You went to your TV. Matt, TV all the way through.
Yep. I watched it like it was spread out, but it was spread out throughout the day Thursday because I was like, all right, well, I'll like watch the first hour on the treadmill and then I'll probably pick it up, you know, later that night or whatever. But I was kind of into it. And yeah. I was like, oh, all right, maybe I'll put on a little bit more while I'm eating breakfast. And then I watched like another hour of it when I was eating lunch. And then like I finished it up like, you know, later on that afternoon. Like once I started watching it, I was like, I'm interested. Like I want to keep watching this.
My wife is pretty famous for falling asleep during movies. So I had to approach this one very cautiously. I was like, hey, this joint's 4 hours long. So check it out. We're just going to break it up. If we have to break it in half or break it into parts, we'll do that. Same thing happened to me, Paul. We're sitting there and we got into, it might have been to the third part or something, which is like an hour and a half into the film. And we were really into it. She was awake. We were liking it. Eventually, she did fall asleep, and we did have to break it into 3 parts. So I watched it all weekend long, but we did eventually finish it. But yeah, it kind of it got some momentum because we were watching it, and I'm like, all of this is new. This is a new film.
It's a new movie, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept waiting for it to, you know, be familiar and hit Wonder Woman's part and that. Felt familiar, but it really felt different this time to me. It felt more menacing with the bank robbery.
Yeah, it was extended. It was more brutal. I felt like you were seeing more innocent people being murdered as those robbers were entering.
Even guilty people being murdered.
There was, during that scene, like that's when that scene started, that's when I was like, oh, what rating is this? Because when they're first entering the building, they're shooting people. And there's like blood mist in a couple of the scenes. And then Wonder Woman's up there fighting them.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to rewind it. I was like, is that a blood stain on the wall after she threw him into that? And it was. It was. And then there's like a puddle of blood later in that scene. I'm like, oh, my, wow.
Yeah, it was. They're going for it. Pretty violent. You know, it was an R-rated movie. It had 2 F-bombs in it. Or 4 F-bombs in it? That's a lot of F-bombs.
Somewhere between 2 and 4.
Yeah. It's a lot of
It seemed of pretty unnecessary, like, to me, the F-bombs, because they were just sprinkled in, like, for a needed, like, exclamation. Because there wasn't, like, shit and pussy and other swear words. It was just fuck.
What would your choice of swear words be? Who would say it? Go.
I would have the Flash say them all like the Micro Machine guy.
Just to get them all out of the way.
If it doesn't swear, like, it's not the real
shit,
thing.
Fuck, cunt, pussy.
Yeah. It was jarring to hear Batman say fuck.
When does he say fuck?
He says it at the end. Says it to the Joker.
You know what that reminded
me
of?
He's like, I'll fucking kill you.
That's right.
I'm like,
that's
whoa,
right.
Whoa, wow.
It reminded me of Jim Lee and Frank Miller's All-Star Batman when he's like, I'm the goddamn Batman.
Yeah.
Like, shut up.
I wish you would have said, they should have dropped that in there too.
I'm the goddamn Batman. Yeah. That would have been actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
It seems like it would have fit in with Zack Snyder's version of these heroes.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Going into it, the structure, I think I started talking about the structure. That was something that really immediately I was like, oh, this movie makes a lot of sense. Built the way that Zack Snyder had, you know, written it or laid it out. It put a big emphasis on these mother boxes and them, you know, being awakened by Superman's demise. And
I get that, and like speaking to how we understand things better this time around. Like, I get, you know, the parademons are just like, you know, nameless faces so people can kill them and, you know, no one feels bad about it. And in the theatrical release, that's kind of how like Steppenwolf was. Steppenwolf is just big nondescript bad guy. Like, but in this one, I loved his kind of backstory. Like, he's been punished for like maybe centuries.
Very interesting.
And there's a point where he's talking to the statue of Desaad, and Desaad's like, you don't get to come back until you conquer 50,000 more worlds. And Steppenwolf's face, he looks like he's going to cry. And I was like, oh my God, do I feel something for Steppenwolf?
Yeah, me and Tracy were like, that seems excessive.
Right? I was like, there aren't even that many worlds.
More? How count. Many did you already conquer? More? And
how long is it going to take to travel so to many places?
Just give up, Steppenwolf.
Yeah, like the look on his face, and I was like, oh man, like there's an actual story here. This is a person. Like, yeah, he's a big monster, but like
he's like a fallen angel kind of, but in reverse.
Be like, you know, Earth isn't so bad. I think I could settle down here, actually. Yeah.
That should have been the fifth fuck when he says, fuck this. He just hangs up on the side. The song's like, Steppenwolf! Steppenwolf!
Right, he joins the Justice League.
Yeah. The thing comes out, I think we got disconnected.
Like, he's wearing one of the Justice League costumes, like how...
But it's all ripped Lewis from his Tully, sharp things. Right,
Lewis Tully had on the Ghostbusters outfit. Like, Steppenwolf shows up.
Yeah, I thought...
With the red and blue Superman outfit, because he wasn't wearing it.
Yeah, it was going unused. What a waste. Yeah, Steppenwolf was a good a surprise addition to like being an actual character in this, where he wasn't just like a CGI monster. We knew exactly what was going on and what happened, and they fleshed out the sort of the origin story of the attack on Earth and the mother boxes being on Earth. I thought was really cool.
Well, yeah. Let me ask you guys this. I'm a little confused. So the mother boxes essentially reawakened when Superman died.
Yeah.
Because, Steppenwolf was afraid to attack Earth? Well, or they were afraid with Superman
around?
I'm
a little bit unclear.
You know who else is unclear about this? Zack Snyder.
Yeah. I'm a little unclear with... So, okay. So, let's say that the site of your biggest defeat... We all remember the sight of our biggest defeats individually, correct?
Waves music, Century 3 Mall.
That's a bummer.
Why? Did you get caught stealing?
No. I got shot down by a girl.
And then her boom tomb came
never
down.
Never forget it. But I needed Zeus and Atlan to bail me out.
So Darkseid takes a big old whopping L on Earth.
Who was that hit him with the giant axe?
That was Ares.
That was Ares?
And,
David
Thewlis as well. I was like, oh my God, he can look badass.
I think he was credited as being in the movie.
Yeah, they're going through the credits in the beginning. I was like, David Thewlis, why the fuck is he going to be in
this? Who's David Thewlis?
Ares in Wonder Woman. He's also Professor Lupin from Harry Potter.
Oh, that was him.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, like, I mean, it was his face.
In a manner of speaking.
I didn't recognize him. Wow.
There's some CG gook on it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They de-aged him and put him on that just juicy, ripped body. But, yeah, I was like, man, he looks pretty good.
Yeah. So, you would remember where, like, you left... let's took your biggest L, and you left your keys there, right? Or maybe you wouldn't remember, but... somebody would remember that Earth was the location of the mother boxes, right? I would think.
Right.
So even if they if they woke up or didn't wake up, you'd be planning on how you were going to get back to this planet to retake the mother boxes, I think. Unless something else happened that made you forget.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's just so much... rationalization that needs done around.
I wish Steppenwolf would have said, bit. I came back to this planet, even, you know, you're too afraid or whatever, but I came back to the site of your biggest defeat, and I'm going to claim this planet for you, Darkseid, or something like that.
I think the movie does make it sound like when Superman dies, they send some signal out, and Steppenwolf
Well, the mother box wakes up, because his, like, death cry
rippled across
moan,
the earth.
And it hit one of the mother boxes, see, right? And it, like, tilted and cracked, and,
That makes total comic book sense to me, because, like, I was thinking, like, the mother box just knew his presence wasn't on Earth anymore. You're right. That's exactly how that happens.
In the original Justice League movie, that is how it happens. There is no, like, reason or anything like that. But in this movie, we see it reverberate and hit the box.
But, so, the greatest defeat, Ian, took place centuries ago.
Millennia
ago. Superman's only been on Earth for 30 years, 35
Only been
years.
A superhero for two.
Why didn't Darkseid maybe, like, if they were afraid of Superman, what about all those years before Superman showed up and before all the other heroes were a thing?
Well, they do specifically say no Kryptonians, no lanterns.
Right, and I think
so. Maybe there was a gap in lantern shifts.
Yeah, and I so, like, I don't know why.
Like, what was keeping him?
I don't know why the Kryptonian would be a thing, because, like, I mean, did they try to, like, conquer Krypton? But they're not super on Krypton; they're just regular.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know why the Kryptonian would be a thing. And, like, with the lantern business, I'm like, you killed that lantern pretty quick, dog. Like, what are you worried about the lantern for?
Maybe he was. Yeah, maybe he was the Lewis Tully of
rookie,
the Green Lantern.
Rookie Lantern, maybe. So, yeah, like, maybe now it's like, you know, Aben Sur's dead. Hal doesn't have the ring yet.
Who was that, by the way? Which lantern was that?
It was a Zack Snyder lantern. It wasn't a real...
Okay.
It wasn't a known guy. Like, maybe he went into, like, the Green Lantern core
Aben Sur was,
mythos,
like, called off
someone,
sick that day.
Yeah, like, this guy didn't even really resemble... one of the more known lanterns.
Okay.
Like, everybody shows up to the battle, and it's like, where's Aben Sur? Oh, I'm filling in for him. I'm Goof McGloof. Don't you worry. He gave me his ring. Don't you worry about a thing.
And then Zeus is like, oh, he must be one of those Grant Morrison lanterns.
I'm sure... he's talking to Ares. He's like, I'm sure he's not even going to get in the fight at all. He won't get near Darkseid. Don't worry about him. So that expanded scene of the, like, sort of history was really cool.
That said, I thought it was awesome seeing a Green Lantern.
Yeah, yeah. And we saw a Green Lantern last time, too. Like, something similar happened. It just wasn't as... I don't think we got a close-up of, like, what the lantern looked like. I also really liked...
That was fucking cool, man. I want to... Give me that prequel.
Yeah, yeah.
Do that story. Yeah.
It was very Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I like, even before that, whenever Steppenwolf comes down to find the first mother box, that whole scene is expanded. Originally, it was like maybe 2 minutes long.
Boy, he hates horses.
He does hate horses.
How dare you walk on four legs?
But it was really I don't know, I thought it was thrilling trying to get the mother box out of the temple, and, like, it seemed like they shut the gates behind them and the temple fell.
That was in the Whedon one.
But this one was expanded. So the Whedon one was like 2 minutes long. This was 11 full minutes of, like, that chase and the build up and the fight and It just had more weight to it. It just did. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really cool. And it really showed, it highlighted the Amazons and how cool they could possibly be. everything that I saw in this movie really made me hate Wonder Woman 84. Because it just highlights how cool Wonder Woman and her whole world could be. And how tough all of those characters
could
be.
Yeah, like the Amazon stuff in 84 was a little... I mean, it was kidified because we're following a kid through the trial, and it's a little more intense in the original Wonder Woman.
But
and
even
it's very
all the,
intense in
yeah.
like this, you know, Justice League stuff.
Even all the Wonder Woman specific stuff in this movie. Just Wonder Woman's fucking kick ass all the way through this movie. Great character. No wonder everybody liked her. And then I'm like, oh, but the most recent thing people saw and the most recent take on her is this really fluffy, really bad version of Wonder Woman. And it just, this really crystallized that I don't like 84 at all.
I don't know. I kind of, like, yeah, 84 has a ton of problems, but I don't think she's bad. And I think a lot of the things she, how she acts, how she carries herself, her action stuff, she's really good in a bad movie. Like, everything surrounding her is kind of the problem in that movie.
Yeah, the movie still stinks. So, yeah. I don't know. This just made me really realize that about it. I thought it was a bold stroke to not really have a ton of superhero action for about 2 hours of the movie, which, to its credit, does all the heavy lifting that another movie or other single character movies would do, which is all the character building stuff that I think was missing before and is vitally important whenever you're introducing a lot of these characters for the first time. And I thought it was handled really well in this.
I really liked the bit where, like, Bruce and Wonder Woman kind of have a flirty thing going on. Like, there was a little bit of that in the Justice League animated series where they kind of, like, loosely alluded that, you know, they may have some, like, romantic thing going on. I thought that was kind of cool to see that where, you know, they grab the mouse at the same time and Bruce gets really awkward. And, man, God, Ben Affleck was very good in this.
He was killer.
Killer. I don't like a lot of his bat stuff in this. Like, I think that thing that crawls up the walls is fucking stupid. But, like, man, him as Bruce Wayne, I could watch Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne all fucking day.
I like the bat crawler thing. I think that was cool.
Yeah.
I think it was cool, too. I think it was kind of, like, necessary to aid Batman with some really powerful technology so that way he could stand among these gods and be relevant other than just like the smart guy.
He stayed really out of the final fight, which I think is probably, I mean, not that these things are realistic, but that probably would, it makes sense. Like Batman, he can't hang in there with them. There's nothing he can do. Even in Batman v Superman, he's kind of staying out of the direct line of fire as Diana and Superman are fighting against Doomsday. So
who did Batman in this had some hand to hand combat, right? Like
he fought some parademons, I want to say.
A lot of parademons.
It was a little reminiscent of his hand to hand stuff in Batman v Superman at the end.
A little bit. I can't remember if he fought any people in this.
I feel like there were shades of it somewhere along the way. I was like, oh man, that's what it reminds me of. And it's so cool to see that kind of version of this Batman because that was just super cool.
I really like this Batman. I do. I am a little bit sad that it doesn't seem like we're probably going to get any more Ben Affleck Batman, but who knows? I mean, the reaction to the Snyder Cut has been mainly positive, I'd have to say.
It's incredibly positive.
I don't want, you know, we're not giving out final grades or anything, but I think that if you're listening this far, you can tell I really liked it. And Matt, I'm guessing that you probably really liked it as well.
Well, I mean, I feel like that's very presumptuous on your part.
I know, right? So right now, the Snyder Cut is sitting at a 73 on the
critics, right?
On the tomato meter for critics and a 96 for audience score. Whereas Justice League 2017, 40 on the critics, 71 on audience. So that's a pretty sizable shift in...
It's massive. It's a huge win, in my opinion, for fans. It's vitally, I think, important that movie studios take a look at this as an example of listening to what the fans want and delivering and the returns. I mean, I don't know how you judge the returns anymore, given that this is like a streaming, you know, platform and everything. I have to think that as a result of it, the subscriptions to HBO Max have to have seen a pretty significant spike. If I already wasn't subscribing, I would have subscribed for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this movie was an event. You know, Wonder Woman 84 kind of felt like an event going into it. This really feels like an event. This is like the kind of like tentpole movie that you are going to subscribe to this service for. And I'm hopeful. And when I say other studios, let's be honest, I'm talking about Disney. Pay attention to your fans. Deliver on what the fans are asking for, and you will probably find yourself very well rewarded as a result. I mean, the numbers bear it out, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
For Justice League?
No, we were talking about we compared the Rotten Tomatoes score. So Zack Snyder's Justice League has a critic score of 73, audience score of 96. And the 2000s,
wow, the audience really liked it, huh?
The 2017 version had a score of critics 40, audience 71. So, big time shift. Now, hindsight is 2020, and or 2021, you know, depending upon what you're doing. Do you think that this was all already in the can and Zack Snyder just had to put some CGI paint on some stuff? Or do you think that he listened to some of the criticisms of the original version and made sure to steer clear of some of that stuff? I tend to think that the things that people didn't love, some of the jokes and the jokey nature and the uneven tone, weren't ever going to be a problem for Zack Snyder because he's not funny and he has... if nothing else, a consistent tone about his films. Mm-hmm. But was there anything in this that you felt like, they probably like did this way in reaction to the first film?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think he looked at it and said, anything that Joss Whedon did, it's out of here. None of it is included.
Yeah, I feel like Zack Snyder was like, wait, you're going to let me do what I want?
Right.
Were like, yeah. And he was like, okay.
I think anything that feels maybe like a tonal shift, maybe from like Batman v Superman, or probably lessons he learned from the reaction to that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So like Batman v Superman is really joyless. Really, really joyless. This has a few moments of levity and I think heart that movie was lacking. But it doesn't take it to Joss Whedon Marvel extremes the way that the original cut did. But I think most of that was already done and in the can. I think there are obvious scenes that were shot after the fact to help kind of glue everything together and make it kind of flow. Like, I think the final sequence of the movie was added, which probably wasn't even necessary. And then the second to final sequence of the movie, when Martian Manhunter shows up at Bruce Wayne's place, I think that was new.
Yeah. It definitely is, because if you look at Ben Affleck,
he looks a lot different.
He looks way different than he does in any of the other points in the movie. Ben Affleck has like three different stages in this movie. If you look at his face, like he's in very good shape in some of the movie. He looks a little bloated and like on cocaine in some of the movie. And then he looks like he's been to rehab.
Yeah.
And it's 2020.
Yeah, final stinger scene, he looks very thin.
Yes. So, few different stages.
But then when he puts the Batman outfit on, it's just padded and ridiculous looking.
Yes.
It's a bad look, I think.
I like the general, like, the idea of it as the Dark Knight Frank Miller Batman.
Yeah.
But
it kind of looks like a Ben Cooper Halloween costume with the padded in muscles. Does it not?
The cut of the chin has always bothered me, because I feel like it's too tight and it just pushes his fat face together.
I haven't noticed that, but I'm not sure that I dig the molding around the eyes, and I don't like the little Catwoman ears either. It's like, come on, grow a pair, will you?
So, any other highlights that we haven't talked about so far? I mean, I know it's a 4-hour movie, and we haven't talked about, you know, really a lot of it, but
I love the Superman stuff. Love it. I'm glad they left in that you know, fight at the statue. I don't know why the statue's still wrecked. Why haven't we fixed
it's the been statue? A minute, right?
Like, it's been long enough. Like, clean that area up. It's like what the fuck is that called? Centennial Park or whatever it is in Gotham City. Clean the fucking thing up. Or in Metropolis, wherever the fuck they're at. Clean it up. It's a fucking eyesore.
His head's just laying on
the
ground.
Yeah, and I'm like, isn't it? And like, Lois keeps going back there the whole movie. Like, oh, I like it here. That's like your husband's severed head. But I loved hearing that the Hans Zimmer Man of Steel music. You know, I loved all the Superman stuff. I, you know, got choked up when Martha comes back to the house and he's like, it's me, Ma. And I'm like, oh, man, this fucking guy. And yeah, that fight, and like, I was excited to see it again because I wasn't sure they were going to take it out or not. But when Flash is coming at him and he just turns his eyes, it's so fucking scary. Like, if I was the Flash in that moment, I would shit my pants.
I think he did. I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah, like I thought that stuff was cool, and it's brutal. And I've always loved the way that Zack Snyder is able to handle the weight of how these characters fly and they react to things and how they move. Is whenever Wonder Woman's deflecting all the bullets in the London, you know, hostage scene, it looks so silly. But it also looks so fucking cool. Because, like, her arms are just moving so fast, and it looks so dumb. But it looks so neat.
Like the
so
Ultimate
neat.
Warrior's arms.
it looks
the
so
ultimate
neat.
Wonder Woman.
So,
I
yeah,
really
I
liked
the
Wonder Woman really got a lot of use out of her banging her bracelets together in this one, which was... I totally forgot that was something that she did, and she did it a lot in this.
She did it, and she always makes a face like she's pushing out a big shit every time she does it.
It makes you like, oh no, here it comes.
That's right.
But it was cool. I mean, all the Wonder Woman stuff was really cool. I liked that. She did nuke that dude in the robbery scene. Like, he was like, I'm going to blow up 4 blocks, and she's like, well, I'm just going to blow up you and 1 block in this... Knocked him out there.
Yeah, there's no way that guy's hat should have even survived.
Oh, no. No, not at all.
There, we should have just seen thread fall on that cop car.
So,
or his head with the hat on it.
I wish...
Don't put it past Zack Snyder or Wonder Woman for...
Yeah, right. It's not her first decapitation.
No. One thing I did want... I wanted Superman to have the red and blue suit at the end. If he's like... They're talking about on the whole movie. He's like, you know, he's hope. He's inspiration. Like, he's what we need... And then he comes back in, like, the black suit. It's not, like...
I
don't know.
Well,
like,
I hear you. Here's the way I kind of, like, look at these movies. Like...
We need to sell more action figures, and this is a different action
Batman
figure.
We're definitely not selling too many Snyder cut.
Too many bloodstained figures. I'm sorry, Matt.
That's okay. Batman v Superman is kind of like part one.
Mm-hmm.
And this was sort of like... part two, and then it feels like there could be a final one where you see the whole team together and functioning like the real, you know, Justice League, obviously, like, fighting against Darkseid
and Superman,
and it would have the real Superman in the red and blue costume.
But maybe the 90s mullet, could we do that? That would be cool.
But it just seems like I can tolerate the black costume if I know we're gonna get that final movie in this series. Which I kind of think we are going to get it because Warner Brothers is too, I think they're too smart, and I'm not like giving them credit. They're too smart. They're too smart to not realize that there's way too much money to be left on the table if they don't follow this up.
Yeah. And there was a planned Justice League 3. I guess Jim Lee had some, He did some storyboarding and he put it up on the internet. And I remember looking at it. I saw it a couple of weeks ago because I followed Jim Lee. And then they took that, like, Warner Brothers or somebody took that shit down and scrubbed it. So it must have been real in some way. And I heard some sort of like, well, after we're done talking here, well, I'll pull up the video that explains what the third movie was going to be. It's pretty fucking bonkers.
Is it not going to be dystopian future?
It's going to be that. It's going to be a lot of time travel. There's going to be a Lois Lane, Bruce Wayne, potential baby, like lot of crazy stuff that explains that pregnancy test that she had prior to Superman coming back.
You still want
to
do this, Matt? You still want to move forward with this?
Maybe don't make that movie.
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, I like time travel and a lot of that kind of stuff and alternate realities, and I kind of like the Nightmareverse, although I didn't love the epilogue. I thought it felt, Matt, I think you said tacked on. It didn't make a ton of sense.
I think you could just cut it and you have the same movie.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, like, it seems to me like that was added on after this movie was essentially made.
It was backdoor trailer. Like, hey, let's try to get more Snyderverse.
Maybe, right. And if the plan wasn't to make more of these things, then why would you go to the trouble of putting that in it with no payoff whatsoever? So I'm pretty confident that you're going to see at some point down the road.
Andy, mark this timestamp, please.
A final Justice League to cap the Snyder verse. Ian, to answer your question about like the stuff that, you know, that I liked, I think for me, it was the scope and the epicness of it. It felt very much like a love letter to just DC Comics in general. And it didn't even necessarily feel like a Justice League movie so much as just a DC superhero movie. And like kind of the flashback stuff with Wonder Woman talking about the big battle several years ago. Millennia ago. How long is a millennia?
30 years.
30, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like 100 or 1,000 years.
Yeah, it's like a billion years ago. Millennia is a long time.
30 years. Anyway, so that was super cool. And what it did really well was that it, in one movie, I mean, granted, I know we've had some of the other ones like Batman v Superman, but this one in particular just made everything feel so rich and dense and expansive, and it has a history that, you know, Marvel obviously took a different approach, and they, you know, did the single movies to kind of establish that, but they really did that with this movie, and they did it with style to spare. I mean, granted, if this isn't your cup of tea stylistically, that's a tough 4 hours to sit through. If you don't like the slow motion sections having slow motion, then this is not the movie for you.
I like the way Zack Snyder movies look. I just don't like some of the universe that he's built.
So this brings us to two characters that were kind of given short shrift, or
Commissioner Gordon
or
Martian Manhunter.
Or
Slade Wilson.
Or
Lex Luthor.
So the Flash.
Darkseid.
So the Flash and Cyborg, right?
Yeah.
Two main characters in the first movie either seemed overly goofy or barely in the movie at all. Really expanded roles, a nice origin story for both of those two characters. I felt like I understood Cyborg's powers way more than I ever have. And I've been a comic reader for most of my life, and I never really got what Cyborg did or any of his powers.
He steals from the rich and gives to the poor.
Cyber Robin Hood, I think he is. I thought that the explanation of his powers and the sort of like the in his mind's eye and how he views himself is
Zack
still...
Zack Snyder loves a quote-unquote dream sequence.
Yeah. he lives and he films his dreams, but I like that Cyborg in his mind's eye, he's just, you know, a football player at school walking around in his jacket. I think that's cool. It's cool to see Ray Fisher not in a ton of CGI goop actually be able to act and emote and do everything. I think he was good in the original cut of Justice League, but this one really, he's the audience surrogate in this one, which is probably what he was meant to be in the original version as well. Really liked it. Loved the football scene. What an option fucking quarterback that Vic Stone is. Just winning it all.
So he played for Gotham U or whatever.
Yeah, Gotham U. What are they? Are they? GCU? Are they the Knights? Or
I don't think they're the Knights because the Gotham City NFL team are the Knights.
Oh, okay.
I do like so that these they, are the Squires that they maintain like the black and gold color scheme.
Love it. Yeah. Love it. Yeah. Cool football scene too, man. Zack Snyder. Let's get him on Friday Night Lights.
That's right. That's right. Remember the Teen Titans?
Oh, shit! Knocked it out of the park. Made me... It also reinforced the sort of distant father angle. Not only did you turn me into Frankenstein, but you missed the big game, Dad. So you kind of get that whole cycle of the father-son stuff. You got a lot of that in this movie, and I think... It's the heart that this movie was missing as well.
Yeah, I thought that a lot of the secondary characters actually had kind of a, I don't know, like a point. They had real purpose in this movie, like Cyborg's father, the way that he sacrificed himself by marking the mother box before he, you know, turned into dust.
Yeah, that was
quite
great.
A way to go.
I thought that so him heating up the mother box, I felt like that could have been done without him being like right
I
next
thought that
to
too,
it.
But maybe it was a game time decision.
It was just like, oops,
right.
I think he had to lock himself in that box to give him to give it time to heat up so Steppenwolf couldn't get in. Yeah.
Maybe. I'm sitting there, I was thinking he had to turn himself into particles that would connect to the mother box that would talk to Vic to tell him, to communicate with him that he could find it like his father's essence.
Is that how particles
there.
Work?
Yeah.
Comic book is. Particles.
Well, they made a big deal about talking about how the mother box could change particles back and forth into different stuff. So I thought that that was all going to, you know, you change the smoke back into the house. I thought that that was going to
you could change
have something.
Those ashes
back
into
your dad,
Mr. Stone.
Yeah, right? I don't know.
Silas
that's what
Stone,
I thought.
That's, his name.
That's what I thought. Miles Bennett Dyson, I think, is what you meant.
That's right. The scientist that bites it all the time.
Also sacrificed
ways.
Himself, sort of, in T2.
Is that who he is in T2? Miles Bennett Tyson?
How dare you, yes.
I'm not a T2 head.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I love it. It's a great movie, but I couldn't tell you any character other than the T-1000.
Yeah, that's...
T-5000? John Connor. Sarah Connor. Yeah, those guys, too. Who else is
that's
in that movie?
That's kind of the movie, right? That's about everybody.
Yeah, I mean, and essentially, I'm sure that's why they... Not only why he got the role... as Silas Stone because he's famous for
being,
you know,
a crazy
cyborg
scientist.
Stuff and the end of the world, you know. But so also I'm interested in hearing your take on the Flash this time. Paul, known Flash hater.
I don't like a lot of the jokes. I think it's almost like too much for this movie. I kind of wish that a softened up Cyborg a little bit and made him less serious, and I don't know how much that is a detriment
you
to the
car
story he's going
he
through.
In. It's hard
I get
to
it.
Be jokey.
I get it.
Whenever
yeah,
you're
I mean,
a torso.
He doesn't need to be a zinger slinger. But like Flash is essentially your only source for jokes, and there's all these like over the top jokes. I wish they would have taken out that dumb "you're sitting in my second favorite chair" line. So fucking stupid. But the intro scene where he saves Iris, I thought was fucking awesome.
It was beautiful.
I thought that was so
honestly.
Fucking cool. Yeah,
the
I
music
thought,
choice, everything.
And like he's really good. Like I think
hot
Ezra Miller
force.
Beautiful.
I thought that was really funny. Like that was funny, but like a lot of the dialogue jokes from him, I'm just like, eh. But like he's funny. Like, even right after that scene, he's in the pen with the dogs, and he's like, always bring a meat stick because everything's crazy around here. Like, his delivery is so good. He's so funny. But something about it, I just can't.
What I'm hearing is he was so funny, I fucking hated it. Because I can't change my opinion.
Yeah. No, I think he's softened in this version. Like, I don't think he's so over-the-top goofy mm-hmm. in this version.
I agree.
And I appreciate that. And if we can do that with Ezra Miller, sure. Let's go for it. Because I think he has the acting chops to do all of the other stuff really well. And, yeah, that scene where he saves, like, Iris when he fucking blasts out of his shoes and, you know, like, pushing through, like, through the window, and just like all like him just kind of being in awe of this power, where, you know, the car's flipping up and he's pulling this girl down and there's hot dogs. Like, I couldn't imagine what it's like to act that out, but man, like, he fucking sold it. Like, what a fucking wondrous situation you're in, and he just seems to be taking all of it in. I thought that was cool. Like, I know it had not, it told you nothing about, like, the rest of the movie in general.
It showed, it but, introduced us to the Flash and yeah, his powers outside guy. Of, it like, kinda, the CCTV intro yeah. that we get.
It did it in the Marvel or the, sorry, the Fox Quicksilver kind of method, mm-hmm. but did it with way more style. Way more style. I think the Flash's powers might be the coolest looking superhero powers ever put on screen.
Yeah, they're pretty neat, because you really get to, it really gives you time to examine some stuff. So yeah, I liked him a lot better. That suit is still god awful. It's horrible. And like, Ezra Miller still grates on me a little bit at times, but if we're gonna keep going down this kind of tone with him, I'm a little more interested in Flashpoint now.
How about all of the musical choices in this movie, Matt? That's usually your corner here. It seemed like, what was it? The composer was Junkie XL.
Was it? The composer had a name.
Or like, maybe it was, is Junkie XL a composer, or is he just
Jungston the Third?
It's hard to take Junkie XL. Oh, he's an old guy. What the?
Junkie XL is an old guy? And an old guy like we're old guys, or an old guy like...
He's 53, so is that...
That's an old guy. Ooh, he's really looking death down the barrel.
Yeah, I mean, he's a composer. He was credited. All right, let's check it out here.
I don't care who did the music. I thought that was maybe the weakest part of the movie for me. You know, I'm a big fan of leitmotifs in movies. I think that is, for these types of movies, the most effective way to do music. And I think that they did it very subtly in this. Paul, you had mentioned earlier the Hans Zimmer version of the Superman score, which is good. But Danny Elfman gave us hints of the John Williams Superman score in the original.
It wasn't hints. It was like straight up that version.
Yeah. I mean, a few notes of it, like a motif basically.
In Man of Steel?
No, in Justice League 17.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he gave
They did the full out, his Batman
Yeah,
score.
They did. Yep. Well, again, I think that just a few notes to kind of like hint at it. I don't think they played the whole march or anything, but even those little snippets, those little tastes of it, I was like, yes, because Danny Elfman gets it. Him and I are like kind of on the same page with that, which is like,
do you think he would say the same thing?
What's that?
That you and he are on the same page.
He said, I listened to a podcast earlier. He was like,
I would imagine
me and Matt Cassell are simpatico. We pee from the same penis.
What?
Is that a saying?
It is now.
Okay. So I think what I remember reading that he said was like, we have this kind of, I don't know, tapestry of music for these characters that are synonymous with the characters. Like, why not use it? And he was referring to the John Williams Superman theme and the and his version of the Batman theme. And he included those, and I was like, thank you. That is awesome. They were gone in this. They did not include them.
But I think it would have felt out of character in the Snyder Cut because those characters are so different, I think. And I know that I liked what I know that I liked that being included in the original version of Justice League, but in this version, I think it just, I don't know if it would have felt, all the like sort of operatic kind of music that was included in this version really fit with what
Zack
Snyder was trying
to do. I think there are alterations you can make to those classic themes to get them to kind of like more seamlessly be integrated. You know, the way that you play them, but like even a few of the notes included, I don't think would have affected things in any kind of negative way.
Yeah.
I think it just would have helped enhance it a little bit. Like the return of Superman. If you give me a little triumphant, like little,
flourish or something like that.
Yeah. From John Williams, I would have been cheering.
Like if, when he's walking through the hall of his different suits and they were coming out and you got to give a little horn or something like that.
I think that would have been cool.
Yep. Trying to think when they could play, like when they could have played the Batman theme. Cause there really, honestly, there wasn't a lot of Batman.
I would have given
a little
motif probably when he showed up to talk to Jim Gordon and he's like on the gargoyle or whatever. Yeah. You know, like you had that like plastic tarp kind of waving and then he was there. I think you could have like done a little thing right there.
Or he could have even done at towards the end whenever he's like, I'll lead them away and he's in the Batmobile. And I think that
some
kind
a little
of,
yeah, a little bit more heroic. And that was actually one of my favorite parts was when he took off like out of the X-Jet with the Batmobile. I don't, what the hell is that thing called?
The troop carrier.
The troop carrier. Yeah, I think I had that. But the when the Batmobile comes flying out of it and blows away like those parademons and everything, I thought that was pretty awesome. So yeah, that would have been a great opportunity.
The only music cue that I got hung up on a little bit is that whenever
the Swedish women singing,
I love that.
The when Aquaman's stripping and going into the water,
and then the one girl like sniffs his,
you
like,
know,
underwear.
That shit has to smell like the sea,
it
like
smells
it
like
doesn't smell good.
Tuna fish,
like yes, today's catch, my king,
tilapia.
That as weird and fucking crazy as that was cool. Like, of course, they would worship him,
yeah. That wasn't the part that I wasn't crazy about, but it also has to do with a vocal score. I feel like they cut back a lot on Wonder Woman's rock cello and instead did
screaming,
like a vocal,
yeah,
a vocal,
there's a lot of
thing.
It was more
Amazon's
primitive.
Crooning,
yeah, it seemed more like an Arabic song.
They,
and
they made her certainly much more of a warrior, much more Xena in this, so it was kind of appropriate.
She was great. I thought Jeremy Irons was great. I love the bit with her and Alfred, and she's pouring the tea wrong. She's like, motherfucker, I've been around for millennia. I know how to pour fucking
which
tea.
Which is years. Not 30 years. 1,000 years.
I really liked J.K. Simmons as Commissioner Gordon, too. I know... He wasn't in it much, but I was like, God damn, it just, he feels like the comic book just fucking like leaping off of the page and into real life.
He's the put upon commissioner.
What?
Yeah. He just felt put upon. The world was heavy on his shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on whenever your Metropolis's neighbor. You got all that business happening over there, plus all your crazy business. What a world. So let's talk a little Martian Manhunter. Did we like any of that stuff?
Martha Manhunter.
Martha
Manhunter. I thought it was like it was completely unnecessary. It was like someone was like, hey, he's in the Justice League. Put him in there. But like, I don't understand. They don't really explain how he knows Lois is the key, because that alludes to, like, you realize when you get to, you know, the alternate, you know, future where the Lois isn't the key to bringing Superman's conscious back after he's dead. Lois is the key to not ending the world, because she dies and he joins Darkseid. Like, how does Martian Manhunter know that?
Don't know. Unclear.
Why the fuck does he care if, like, she's just sat in her house? And the world needs you. Get out there.
I kept thinking about this.
And then at some point, Lois is going to be like, oh, yeah, Martha, thanks for coming over. And she's going to be like, I didn't do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So just say that, you know, you were at the depths of despair, and one of your closest friends came over and had this real uplifting conversation with you that really changed around the way that you looked at life and the way that you view things, and you picked yourself up on the mat. And the next time you saw them, you're like, hey, that really, really inspired me. What you said to me that day that you came over and sat down, and they told you, no, I didn't. Yeah. You're crazy.
You mean like when Martha and Lois were at the farm with Superman, like a few days later?
Right? So that makes that scene super weird and strange.
It is a little bit weird, but.
And also after that, mm-hmm. then Lois is going to be like, once she thinks about it, she's going to be like, man, Martha, that wasn't Martha. She didn't even come. She doesn't fucking care. What a bitch. This whole family dynamic's ruined. No wonder why Darkseid wins.
Yeah, that bitch is gaslighting me.
Man, Martian Manhunter screwed it all up. Yeah, the fanboy in me still loved it. I was like, oh, that's so cool.
He looked great.
He looks really good.
He looks cool.
I hate that actor that plays him.
I was just going to say, I love that actor.
Ever since I saw that fucking idiot in the second Matrix movie, and he kept saying, I believe, blah, 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 blah. I believe. I do not believe. Everything was, I believe. Like, watch that movie.
Man, I can't remember.
Is that his fault or the movie's fault?
Well, it's so stilted the way he delivers it, but like, I realized that dude just, that's the way he acts. Right. So he was perfect for it.
But that's perfect for Martian Manhunter.
I suppose
it is.
That's
kind of Martian Manhunter's delivery.
I was disappointed that's the actor that they decided to go with. I wish they would have gone with somebody a little bit different.
Well, don't worry, because he's going to be CGI goop most of the time.
Yeah, I know, but like, it's his. That's the aspect of him that I can't stand is his fucking voice. I mean, obviously, Paul, they're setting it up for the inevitable sequel that, as we've discussed, they will make.
Well, Zack Snyder did say it ends on a cliffhanger.
That's right. Well, Andy time stamped it. We know it's going to happen.
Yeah. So, do we like that final stinger? Like, would we want to see leading up to that, or the sequel just dumps us into Nightmare World?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if you treat like the next one like Terminator.
Did you like the Joker?
Did I like the Joker? Yeah, it was fine.
I liked it way less than I thought I was gonna like it, and I also noticed that the line that they gave him was not,
it's not in this, there.
It's not in there. I mean, that was just for the internet, apparently. That we live in a society, big old meme. Didn't know that until I researched it
a
little bit.
That felt a bit bait and switchy, because that was probably the aspect of that trailer that excited me the most. I mean, they saved it for the end of the trailer. It's usually what you do when you're trying to get people excited. Remember when they give you the big reveal that the Emperor is back for episode 9?
Mm-hmm.
And that paid off wonderfully as well. Yeah, yeah. Just, I kind of agree. I liked it less than I thought that I was going to.
I was like, oh, maybe he isn't a good Joker after all.
Yeah, yeah. But the David Ayers version, like, was a crappy version. This was the nightmare version of the Joker. Like, goddamn, I just want to see, like, give me the real Joker with Zack Snyder directing like a regular Batman. Like, I would love to see a Zack Snyder grounded version of Batman in Gotham City with, you know, with Jeremy Irons and J.K. Simmons, and give me like that version. Yeah.
Is it weird to think that if Jared Leto would just act normal, it would be way more effective as the Joker? Like, is that stupid? Or, like, all the stuff that he's doing is too much.
Too much. Yeah, his laugh, like that.
This was even. This was even like pulled back from.
I think I did.
I think you did too.
It was even pulled back from the David Ayers version. I thought he was sort of normal.
25% more back. Pull it further back. I thought that the makeup and the creepy like bloody sort of teeth were really effective and weird, and like the longer hair, like his whole look. He elected to have tattoo removal done to his face in the end of times, so that's good. So he got all of his tattoos.
Yeah, well, how's that gone?
I don't know. With the internet, who knows? But his acting and it, like, some of the lines that like when he's like, oh, like who will give you a reach around, like. Please.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know this is the end of times, but calm down, sir.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It was so weird. It was just weird.
I wonder if we got the story of how they end up there. If that Joker that we're seeing.
I don't
want to
see Batman get
is...
a reach around, Paul.
That was so. Yeah, I guess I.
That's not, that's not quite what I meant.
I feel like it was.
That was a really rough line.
It was horrible. Yeah. And then it was followed up by, like, fuck you by Batman. And I'm like, what is that? This is my nightmare.
Fuck your mother.
I thought, because I'm a sucker for alternate realities and dystopian futures. And I was like, this isn't good. I don't like this at all.
Yeah, I don't know if they start the next one like a Terminator movie where it's like in the future in the Batman nightmare verse or whatever, and then go into the movie proper. I would hope that they don't let that be the movie, the next movie. That would be a really tough pill to swallow. I don't know, man. Like, if you want to play around and hint at it a little bit more, fine, but I would really hate it if that's the real direction that they ultimately took this thing.
So, Ian, do you want to get into our 2017 final grades and then grade this one out?
I do. So, in 2017, producer Andy also, you know, let me listen to key spots of that podcast, and we all talked pretty...
He does great work.
He does. We all talked pretty glowingly about 17. It was surprising to me.
Wow.
So I guess that upon time or us watching it more or thinking about it more or whatever, our scores have probably fallen a little bit, maybe 1 point or maybe a couple of points. But in the moment in 2017, I gave it a 7. Paul, you gave it a 7. Matt, you gave it an 8. So
that's crazy.
So that's how we shook out.
I don't think I would have rated us all that high, but I do remember you liking it more than we did. I probably would have put us at 6, 6, and 7.
But we talked pretty glowing. Paul, you and myself talked about it in very glowing fashion. I think I even, as we were giving the rankings, I challenged future listeners to go back and listen to me say this. So this is once again the nightmare verse in alternate realities as I listen to myself insult myself in the future.
What episode is it for the listeners to go back?
Episode 222. So you can go on Spotify and check out
222.
That was back before you had an entire year's worth of McSauce to listen to.
We also ranked the comic book movies of that year, or at least Paul and myself did. Matt, you did not. I ranked Wonder Woman, the first one. Who could ever care? Wonder Woman number 1, Spider-Man 2, Justice League 3, Logan 4, Guardians.
What's Spider-Man Homecoming?
Guardians, the second one, and then Thor Ragnarok. And Paul, you rated
that was
it. 9. Paul, Guardians, Spider-Man, Wonder Woman, Thor, Justice League, Logan. And Matt, you didn't care.
Wow. I rated Justice League above Logan? Jesus, how drunk was I?
Probably very drunk.
Of all the all the Ezra Miller Flash hate that I've had since episode 222, I am shocked that, one, I would put that above Logan, and that I gave it a 7.
Well, okay, so let's rescore it now.
Let's rescore it. So the Snyder Cut, or rescore it and then score the Snyder Cut?
Yeah.
Okay. I would give the 2017 version of Justice League probably I'll give it a 6. It gets a 1 point deduction. It still entertained me, and the bones of what were in that are still entertaining. Granted, it was confusing, and there was stuff that was bad. But it still entertained me. Like, that movie and some of the stuff still entertained me.
Yeah, I think the context of having seen the Snyder Cut, you can't help but let that color your opinion of
it. Or desaturate your opinion.
Right. So even without that, I probably would have bumped it down to a 7. I had thought all this time that I gave it a 7 because in my mind it was about a 7. But after seeing the Snyder Cut, it probably deserves another point down. So I'm going to say it's a 6.
Mm-hmm. Are we doing the Mark of the Beast here? You're going lower.
Yeah, I'm going lower.
What?
As much as I love all the Superman stuff, and a lot of the Superman stuff is fairly intact and a little bit different when he comes back, and he does have the blue and red costume in the 2017 version, which I love. I'm gonna regrade 2017 as a 4 because I have no desire to watch that movie ever again.
See, that's funny you say that, because after we finished the Snyder Cut, my wife and I both were like, well, we need to watch the 2017 version to see the differences and see how different it is. So I'm interested to watch it again
I remember it being confusing and the tone was all over the place. And after watching the Snyder Cut, I'm like, oh, why would I bother with that? Like, this is what it was supposed to be. Like, now I've seen it. I don't need to see the knockoff version.
Now,
even though Warner Brothers keeps saying Joss Whedon's version is canon. You're not fucking Star Wars, Warner Brothers. Just knock it off.
I also think that the Snyder Cut benefits from the patience that would have resulted in having more movies to build up more of these characters. You know, essentially we got another Wonder Woman movie. We got Aquaman. We also got to see a version of Justice League that told us the story of these characters. So when we're watching this second version, we already have been introduced to the Flash and Aquaman and Cyborg. We're just getting more layered storytelling on top of it. So in a way, it's sort of cheating because we have that knowledge from the shittier version of
and
that
not
movie.
To not to disparage, you know, the job Joss Whedon had to step in and do. I mean, he had to cut 2 hours out of a movie and still make it make sense. It didn't. But that it is what it is. That is the finished product.
But here's the thing. Like, he didn't have to cut all of that stuff out. You know what I mean?
He probably just needed to start over.
But that's kind of what he did. Like, that version of the movie is very different. There's so much stuff that they added in there. They said it's like 70% of the movie is Joss Whedon's stuff and reshoots and, you know, punch ups to the script. So it's a very different movie than this one, as clearly we can see. He didn't need to change it that much.
Yeah, we've talked pretty glowingly tonight about Zack Snyder's Justice League, but there's still a lot of stuff about this one that I don't really understand. Like, after Batman v Superman. The world seems to be split on Superman. Is he a hero or a menace?
Yeah.
But then when Justice League starts, he's a beloved hero the world over.
Think about when people die, like, and how glowingly everybody talks about people, no matter how disgusting they are when
Michael
they die.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, like, all right.
I mean, it happens in real life. Everybody becomes a saint once they die.
Yeah. All right, I can get behind that. That'll work.
Is this the first time that I've ever persuaded Paul on anything?
And that was pretty easy.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I.
Oh wait! The boat's turning back around again.
Couldn't just let it go. Yet.
No, it does. It does work, but through all the setup of, like, through Batman v Superman, do we like him? Do we not like him? Like he blew up the Senate. Like, I don't know. It just seems like too easy to start this movie. Like, oh, everyone loves him now. Everyone's always loved him.
Well, he did save
Batman. Loved him. I'm like, motherfucker, you helped kill him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's that's as good a reason as any to. Sure, I can do that. I mean, we had to jump through other hoops. I mean, this was a pretty easy one to get through.
I like it. So why don't we wrap this thing up here? Paul, do you want to give a final grade for the Snyder Cut?
This was really tough for me. Really tough. There's, like, I feel like I shouldn't like it, but I think I really liked it. I think I'm going to give it an 8. I think the consistent tone, the consistent storytelling, there are some choices. Like, why the fuck would Superman choose the black suit?
Because he's badass.
He's not badass. He's Superman. Batman chooses the black suit. But yeah, like I thought it was cool. Like a lot of stuff made sense now. Like I said earlier, like Steppenwolf makes sense. Why he's there, who he reports to. Like he had story. Mm-hmm. Like all of this stuff just made sense. I don't care that it took 4 hours. Like, I thought it was kind of cool. Once I started watching it, I had to keep watching it. So yeah, I'm gonna give it an 8. This isn't my ideal DC world, but yeah, I kind of dug this consistent vision, and Zack Snyder does make a beautiful movie.
Yeah, I also give it an 8. I really liked it. I want to see more of these characters. I didn't think that it was possible that this movie was going to be so different from the original cut. But I do. I want to see more Snyderverse stuff. I want to see whatever he had in mind for his wacky third version. I want to see them build the Hall of Justice and go up against, you know, Lex Luthor. And hopefully maybe they'll chop his head off, too.
I wish there was time in a potential future movie to have Clark and Bruce just, like, talk in a room together.
Well, maybe, you know, if this has taught us anything, there's 4 hours that you can have a movie that will have people happy. So one of those hours will just be talk time with Clark and Bruce.
Just bat chat.
Bat chat. So yeah, I give it an 8. It was really cool. They expanded on a lot of the stuff that I really liked from the original version. They added some layers of character development to the characters that were given short shrift, made me like characters that I never thought that I would ever actually like, and cared about a lot of the secondary characters. Matt, to your point, they were just a little bit more important this time, and it really pushed the story along in a really thought-provoking way. So I was totally in. 8 for me.
Yeah, I was probably going to give it an 8 as well, but then I started to think about
Martian Manhunter,
some of the other details of the movie and maybe the story surrounding it a little bit. And I can't just simply take the movie in a vacuum. Like, I have to be considerate of kind of what this particular project represents. And to me, it's a huge victory for the fans, really. It's a victory for Snyder, who I don't know how his attitude toward all of this is, having to step away and have people shit all over his vision and everything. Like, the fans obviously are very harsh about Batman v Superman, and they didn't like Justice League. I don't know how that might affect him. But if studios are paying attention, maybe this can be something of like a beacon of hope for the fans to maybe pay attention going forward to what the fans are kind of asking for. Because in the end, I think everybody kind of wins if you do that. Maybe don't be so stubborn. If you would have asked me what I give this like Thursday night, I probably would have said an 8. But after sitting with it for a few days now, it's one of those movies that I just think about a lot, and it really stuck with me. the aesthetics of it are, I can understand why they might be divisive. There's a lot of slow motion. Return of the King looked at it and was like, Jesus Christ, you guys have a lot of fucking slow motion in there.
A lot of epilogues too.
Yeah. But, with the way that, in spite of the four to three aspect ratio, I still think that Zack Snyder frames an incredibly beautiful looking movie. He makes a comic book come to life on the screen. And, for me, it's a 9. The epic scope of this thing, it was like Lord of the Rings meets superheroes to me. And the Joss Whedon one felt like that too. But this really, truly feels like a 1-to-1 to me. I really respect that it's just simply doing its own thing. For me, Joss, like, the reason why the Joss Whedon version feels so different is I feel like the suits at Warner Brothers sat in a room and said, when they realized we need to bring somebody in to finish this movie, they're like, you know what, guys, we got to make this more like Marvel. Those guys are like just rolling in it by coming out with these formulaic like comedy action movies, and we got to like bump up the comedy and the lightheartedness. Who can we get that can do that? Hey, how about the guy that made two of the Avengers movies? The guy that makes Buffy. He's the right guy for this. And he was the right guy to do that. Problem is, they probably should have not done that and felt like they had to be something that they weren't. Or, you know, fit that square peg into a round hole. Or is it a round peg in a square hole? Whatever.
I think either. Put it wherever you want it.
I think that... that Zack Snyder's vision for what it was, you know, 100% was the right way for this. And I am so glad that this was made, and I'm very hopeful that that the final movie will get made as well. And I, like I said, man, I think you're going to see it. I would buy this, even though I have HBO Max. It's a movie that I would kind of like to have in my collection. If HBO ever decides to sell it, I would buy it. It should be the canonical version of the Justice League, I think. No doubt. So, and how cool is that when Wonder Woman cut Steppenwolf's head off and his head just goes flying through the portal and Darkseid steps on it like it's great.
I thought it was brutal when Superman like lasered his horn off.
Yeah.
I was like, oh God, this poor guy.
I know.
He just wanted to serve his master.
Right.
That's going to do it for us tonight. Who would have thought we were all going to come in so high on the Justice League?
If we would have traveled back in time like the Flash and saw our scores from 2017, we would have known that we would have been high on the Justice League.
Oh, I thought that was really cool too. How like in the fight in the sewers, he kind of sees that he can turn time back a little bit, and then he winds up using that at the very end.
Well, he also used it whenever they dropped the mother box into the Kryptonian pool.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
And he rewound time.
Yeah. Very good stuff. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Sharpley.
Excel.
We'll see you next time.